Thank you, choir, and thank you, Tonda. Now, I thought there was a song I'd heard every song that there was, but that's the first time I've ever heard that. Now, that's great. You know, the Bible tells us a lot about miracles. You think about the parting of the Red Sea and the parting of the Jordan River, the walls of Jericho falling down, all of the miracles, the thousands of people that Jesus healed, 5,000 fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Just astounding number of miracles in the Bible. But the greatest miracle and the most unexpected was the resurrection. I mean, Jesus tried to prepare the disciples for it, but somehow or another it just never really stuck in their minds that he was coming back. Now, they may have thought, well, you know, he's going to be in our hearts. We're going to remember him forever like we do our loved ones that have gone on. But it just seems unlikely that they didn't expect. I mean, after all, those ladies on that first Easter morning, what did they do? They were going to anoint his body. They were going to embalm it, prepare it for burial. They weren't going down. They weren't looking for an empty tomb. And when they came back and reported that the tomb was empty, Peter and John go tearing off down there as fast as they can go because they're not really sure these ladies are telling the truth. Maybe, you know, maybe they went to the wrong tomb or something or other. They didn't. Nobody expected it. It was a great, great miracle. And because it was the greatest miracle, I mean, you think about it, now, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but eventually he died. And the little girl that he raised from the dead eventually would have died. The widow of Nain's son that he raised from the dead would eventually have died. But Jesus, even though he died, he's alive forevermore. Even now seated at the right hand of the Father in glory, where he's in a place of authority. And the wonderful thing is the Bible says that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You have a power and authority that you don't begin to know and understand unless you really have studied your word, because you are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Not will be when you die, but now. There's a power and authority that's yours because of your relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord. In the Gospel of John, there's that story of doubt, what we call doubting Thomas. You know, Jesus appeared to the other disciples, and Thomas wasn't there. We have no idea. He doesn't tell us why he wasn't there, but he wasn't. And so he comes back into the group, and they say, "We saw Jesus, and he's alive." Thomas says, "You guys pulling the leg, aren't you? I'm not going to believe it till I see the nails, where the nails went in his hands and in his feet and where the spear went in his side. Unless I see that, I am not going to believe." And we say, oh, he was a doubter. But you know, all he was really wanting to do was the same proof that the others had. I mean, they had proof. They had seen Jesus. They had seen the nail holes. And all he was saying is, show it to me just like you have it, and I'll believe. Well, you know the rest of the story. It's not long after that, they're gathered together again, and Thomas is there, and Jesus appears. And he says, "Thomas, come and look. Come and look. See the nail holes? See the spear place?" And Thomas falls on his face and says, "My Lord, my God." And then Jesus said, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And that's you and me. I doubt seriously that any one of us have ever seen the risen Jesus as he appears in flesh and blood. But we believe. But we believe. Now let me ask you a question. How deeply do you believe? And you know, in the book of Romans, Paul talking about how people get saved, he says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Paul talks about confessing with the mouth, believing in your heart. Now let me ask you the question, and you think about this now. Do you believe in your head, or do you believe in your heart? Is the reality of the risen Christ head knowledge or a heart experience? You see, there are people that have a doctrine of the resurrection, but don't really have an experience of the resurrection. We can believe in our head many, many things and say, yeah, you know, that's what the Bible teaches. That's what my preacher said. That's what my Sunday school teacher, my mom, my dad, my grandma, somebody taught me. That's what I believe in my head. But what about down in our heart? Do we really believe in a resurrected Christ down in our heart where we've invited him in and he lives within? Because you see, it makes all the difference in the world whether it's head knowledge or heart knowledge. It's going to affect the way you live. It's going to affect your attitude. It's going to affect your awareness of his presence in your life on a regular basis. You know, I think most of you would, that our daughter and her husband and our grandkid, two of our grandkids are missionaries in Australia. And we had a long talk with our daughter and son-in-law Friday night, one night this week. And they've been in Australia about 5 years, and they've been what you would call either the senior pastor or lead pastor of a church now for 2 years or a little more. And all of a sudden, the reality of pastoring a church is clicking in with him. He's trying to change it from a nice Sunday fellowship to a Bible-based, believing church. And there are folks who'd just rather have the fellowship and the good time than believe in the Bible. And he's frustrated. You know, he said the other day, he said, some guy stood up and said, I want to give a testimony, and he gave heresy. And that's why cults are started, somebody believing heresy. And when the guy sat down, Brian said, you know, I've got to correct that. The Bible says this, this, and this, and this. Well, the guy got angry, and now he's going around spreading in the church, the preacher won't pay any attention to me. Well, hey, I don't want anybody spreading heresy at Barbie Grove either. You don't either. But you see, here was a man that had not a humble heart, but a proud and arrogant heart. I remember standing on the porch at Prospect when I was pastor there. And this guy trying to argue with me, and I'm saying, but look right here what the Bible says. Look right here what the Bible says. It ain't right. Well, he'd had heart attack and bypass surgery, so after he started turning red, I just walked off. I thought, well, let's leave him in his ignorance. If the Bible can't correct him, he's not correctable. And I don't want to give him a heart attack right here on the church porch. And that guy never did change in his ignorance. He did not have a humble spirit. You see, when you have a heart awareness of the presence of Jesus, it's going to make you humble, teachable, lovable, able to love, caring, sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. This week I was talking with someone and we were talking about various people that we know that have the glow of the Spirit of God on their faces. There's just something about them that you look at them and you talk with them, and in the Hollywood sense, they may not be that pretty, but the glow of the Lord in their faces and in their lives makes them beautiful. And what is it? It's the presence of Jesus. It's that walking with Jesus on a regular basis. That fellowship that we have day after day after day with Him. Paul says, we confess it, but it comes out of the heart. And real Christianity, a real walk with God, comes out of the heart and no other place. It concerns me that I think there are people that have a head knowledge of the resurrection, but not a heart experience of the resurrection. You know, when you have that heart experience of the resurrection, Jesus is just as real to you as the person beside of you. As your spouse, your kids, your best friend. Jesus is real. And what is the old, the lady sang it yesterday. He walks with me and talks with me. Yeah, in the garden. He walks with me and talks with me. And, you know, I was thinking about it. I serve a risen Savior. We sing this a lot of Easters. He's in the world today. I know that He's living, no matter what men may say. He walks with me in long life's narrow way. He lives, He lives. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives in my heart. He really lives in our heart. And that's the good news of Easter, is that Christ is alive, that He lives, and that He lives in the lives of believers. Praise God that He lives in our lives as believers. And the more you experience the living presence of Jesus, the more it's going to change your life. The Bible says if a man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Or one translation, a new creature. Made all over anew by the presence of Jesus. John Newton said, I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, now I'm found. All the difference in the world because of that inner presence of Jesus. I don't know what your experience is this morning. I ask you again, head knowledge, heart knowledge. You know, sometimes the difference between heaven and hell is, what's that, about 20 inches or so? About 20 inches or so? Believing it up here or believing it down here? Makes all the difference in the world. As to whether or not it's real. You know, when it's real, you're aware of Jesus on a regular basis. Now, you know, I know how life is. There are times when troubles, tiredness, busyness, or sin interfere in our lives and We sort of get worn out. And especially if it's sin, we may not feel as close to the Lord as we did at other times. But the good news is, we can come back. That prodigal son had a fellowship with his father that he lost when he was off in the pig pen and wasting his life in riotous living. But he came home and was restored to fellowship. He came home just willing to be a servant, but he came back to sonship. And you know, the devil may tell you it'll never be the same between you and God. Hey, the Bible says he's a liar and the chief of liars. You can be closer to the Lord today than you've ever been before. Somehow or another, many people think God's angry with them. But no, God loves you and he loves me. And he wants to live in our hearts. You see, Thomas had to see to believe. You and I don't see with the physical eyes, but we see with spiritual eyes. And we see with our hearts. And we experience with our hearts the glorious, wondrous, wonderful presence of Jesus. And he does that for us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus says to the disciples, and it distressed them, he said, I've got to go. But I'm going to send someone who's just like me. And he's going to come and live in you. And I've said it before, and you've heard it before. If Jesus were still here in the flesh, there'd be one Jesus. And if he were in the Middle East, if you wanted to be with Jesus, you'd have to get on a plane and fly to the Middle East. And unfortunately, the nation of Israel isn't big enough to hold 1 billion people. We couldn't all get in. And even if we could get all, we could get him somewhere big enough with 1 billion people wanting to get close to him. About how close do you think you'd get? Maybe close from here to Oakboro, something, you know? Oh, but the way it is now, he went back and he sent the Holy Spirit. And he live in your heart. You experience the risen Christ in your life. And you can be here in Barbie's Grove and people be down at Bethlehem and over at Oakboro and over at Albemarle and in Australia. And all of us experience Jesus in a wonderful, wonderful way. All of us experience Jesus at the same time. And you know, just like I said a moment ago, you can see the glory on the faces of certain people that are so filled with the presence of the Lord. It's amazing how you can walk into a place and meet somebody that you've never met, and all of a sudden there's a connection. Now, those out there at the funeral here yesterday heard Larry's testimony. First time I met Larry, I'd never seen Larry anywhere, anytime that I know of. But I like that guy. I like that guy. I enjoyed talking to that guy. I enjoyed every time. You know, and he was one of those guys that was over in Bob's room almost every morning when I got there. And we talk about the Lord, and we talk about prayer, and we talk about the Bible, and you know, that Jesus in him and the Jesus in me had a good time. He told me as he went out the door yesterday afternoon, we got to keep getting together. Oh, isn't it so wonderful that the risen Jesus lives in our hearts more than just in our heads? And if he's just in your head, acknowledge that and invite him into your heart. And let him live there, reside there. Let him teach you, guide you, direct you, empower you, be real to you. Thomas had to see to believe. We don't see, but we believe. Very simply, what did Paul say? We confess with our mouth, we believe in our heart. And that leads to salvation. In a few moments, we'll sing an invitation hymn. If you've never received Jesus Christ into your heart, I'm not asking, have you been baptized or did you walk the aisle somewhere? I'm saying, if you've never received Jesus Christ into your heart, we invite you to do that. Whether you become a member of this church or not, it's important that you know Jesus. He's alive this morning. He's going to be alive forever. And he wants you to be alive and with him forever. It's just a matter of whether you invite him into your heart. Confess him with your mouth. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's living. Whatever others may say. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives in my heart. I pray that he lives in your heart before you go out the door of this building today. As we stand for the invitation, Brother Leonard, would you come? Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Make some other decision. We invite you to do that as the Lord would lead you.